All right, we got two more lessons in the series we've been doing for the last 7 or 8 weeks on live happy. How many know that we are called to live a happy life? We're called to live a happy life. We're looking at the Beatitudes, and in the Beatitudes says, blessed are. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We know this word blessed, when it's used in this particular content, is translated out to be the word happy. It's what the word of God in this particular issue was using, this word happy. And so we know that Jesus said, happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. These are very much radical thinking. It's a radical statement by our Lord and Savior when he came to change the way we were thinking about being happy. We think that happiness is what's in our bank account. We think happiness is by our degree. We think happiness is by who we're in relationship with or things we have. And Jesus said happiness really has nothing to do with those things. Happiness has to do with security in him, in a personal relationship of knowing him as a personal Savior in your life. And so he's given us the steps through the Beatitudes of entering into the kingdom of God. Today we're going to talk about happy are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9 is our text, which says it like this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We talked about this in the very first sermon. We talked about the thought that the last word of the Old Testament, how many remember what that is? Anybody remember what the last word of the Old Testament is? It's the word cursed. The very last word of the Old Testament is the word cursed. And the very first word in the first sermon in the first book of the New Testament, in chapter 5, we see Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon. The very first word is happy, blessed, happy. What was Jesus trying to establish here? He was trying to establish that, man, there's a new sheriff in town. That under the old law, that, man, you're cursed. There's no way we could ever fulfill the law. We could never be perfect people. We could never obtain righteousness on our own. The only way we can obtain righteousness is through grace and mercy. And we've talked about that already, the pure at heart, and those who show mercy, and how much grace and mercy God has given to us. And today we know that Jesus was saying, man, there's a new thing happening here. It's one of grace and mercy. I've come that you can live happy. No longer that you have to live with a condemned heart, but you can live in a happy spirit, in a happy place of knowing that, you know what? My sins are forgiven. I have been justified through Jesus Christ. I have been given grace and mercy. And so today we're talking about this, and Jesus was coming in and saying, this is how you enter into the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes lay out a very, just a step-by-step example how you and I enter into the kingdom of God. So we're talking about happy are the peacemakers. Before we can talk about making peace, we must first of all identify what is peace. Let's answer that question today. What is peace? The Bible starts and ends with peace. You ever thought about that? In the book of Genesis, we read about what? What's the first thing we read about? Creation in the Garden of Eden, right? And so in the Garden of Eden, was there complete peace? There was. When God created Adam and Eve, he created an atmosphere that was of total peace. No conflict, no worries. It was nothing but perfect communication, perfect communion and fellowship with each other and with the Heavenly Father. That's the way he established it. But when sin entered into the world, it brought conflict. It brought a place of not having the peace that was necessary to live our life. And we see throughout Scripture where we see peace being there, peace not being there. But what do we see at the very end of the Scripture? We see of a coming kingdom. Jesus talked about, and we know about a coming kingdom in the book of Revelation, where he says that when the kingdom of God comes, there's going to be a place where the lion lays down next to the lamb. It's a kingdom of perfect peace that you and I are going to see one day. If you've been a born-again believer, as we talked about last week, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that we have a promise of a home that's for eternity. This life we live is just for a short time, but the life that God has promised you and I is a life of eternity in the kingdom of him, and that's the eternity of peace. So how do we know what peace is here on earth, though? How do we establish peace on earth? We know the sin brought in conflict, but the Bible says that there comes a time when the kingdom of God will bring a time of peace. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but the author of what? All right, let me give you a hint. We are talking about peace today, And so if I ask you a question, there's about a 99.9% that the answer is peace. Okay? The answer is peace. And so God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. But you guys learn fast. Good job. Give your neighbor a hand. Say, you did good. You did good. Today we know that God is the author of peace. How many know that God is not the author of confusion? He is the author of peace. Confusion, conflict did not enter the world until man allowed Satan to bring sin into the world. And so today we know that God is the author of peace. He says in Scripture many times that he is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of peace. There was something about this that he wanted you and I to understand, even establishing in Scripture time and time again, that his name is a name of peace, that he is the God of peace. He's the author of peace. He's the God who brings peace. He's the God who established peace. His son is called the Prince of Peace. There's something that God was wanting to put in our hearts of a place of the kingdom of God now in our life where we can walk in the perfect peace of God. There's a place, the peace of God, that God wants us to live in. Then why don't we have peace in the world today? It's a good question. First of all, the devil fights it. He doesn't want us to have peace in the world today. He is against peace because he knows that he can never live in perfect peace again. He's been kicked out of heaven. He knows that his eternal destination is one of a lake of fire. And so he does not want you and I to spend eternity in peace. And so he's going to do everything he can in his power right now to bring the world to a world that's not full of peace. But he wants the world to be full of conflict, of sin, of turmoil. And the second thing, the reason why we don't have peace, is that the world simply rejects it. Because when they reject Jesus, who are they rejecting? Rejecting peace. When they reject God, who are they rejecting? They're rejecting peace. If people have rejected God, they have rejected peace. There is no peace without the Lord. Let me say it again. There is no peace without God. If you are living your life today, and you say you're on the edge, should I experience this thing we're calling born again? Should I be born again? I will say to you, you'll never experience peace in your life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Bar none. You'll never have the peace that you're looking for, the comfort that you need to live in this life, unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In 1945, the United Nations was formed. And their statement, their mission statement was simply this: to provide peace for all succeeding generations. That was in 1945. How many know they've done a great job, haven't they? It's just, the world's been at peace since 1945. I mean, all the nations have come together, united in this effort to bring world peace, and they're doing such a great job. You know, we have over 3,500 years of secular history recorded. So not including the Bible, but this in our secular history being recorded, there's 3,500 years of recorded history. In that time, there is 14,351 wars have been recorded in our history. That's 4 a year for the last 3,500 years. 3.6 billion people have died in war in that time frame that we know about. 8,000 peace treaties have been established and signed. 8,000 in a time. How many want to take a guess at how many have been broken? All of them. See, we think that we can establish peace and man cannot establish peace. We try. Man cannot establish peace. That's why God says, I am the peace to the world. He said Jesus is the Prince of Peace because the only way to receive peace is through Jesus Christ. The only way to receive peace is through a personal relationship with Jesus. Peace, what do you think about? I think if I was asked most of you here today, what is your definition of peace? We would probably all have something along the line of an absence of conflict. We would think peace has to do with an absence of conflict. But I'm here to tell you that peace, as the Scripture is talking about, has nothing to do with the absence of something. It all has to do with the presence of something. It's called the presence of righteousness. That when we walk in peace, we're walking in the presence of righteousness. The only way to have perfect peace is to walk in the presence of righteousness. It's not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of those who are righteous, of the Lord our Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. So how can I have a turmoil in my life and still yet walk in peace because I have Jesus. Jesus was trying to teach us this principle when he was talking to his disciples. Remember when they were on the boat and they were out and the big storm came and Jesus is there, you know, and he's asleep. And like, Jesus, wake up. We're going to be killed. The wind's blowing us around. And Jesus is like, man, what are you guys doing? Do you not realize who's with you? You have righteousness with you. You have the Prince of Peace with you. And you're worried about perishing during this storm. And of course, we know he came up and he calmed the storm with his words. And he said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas, they obey him? He was trying to teach us more than just him calming the storm. There was a principle that goes much deeper than that. There was a principle that we should be calm as long as Jesus is in our boat. I mean, really, think about it. Really, why should we panic if Jesus is in our boat and he's controlling every circumstance in our life that we walk through? Why should we not be at peace? Because he is in charge. And it's what he's saying to us today, that the presence of righteousness brings peace in our life. Peace is letting Jesus have control of every area of our life. If you don't have peace in an area of your life, you need to give Jesus control of that area. Let's answer the second question. What is a peacemaker? What is a peacemaker? We just touched on it again. Let's define it as one who invokes righteousness. One who invokes righteousness. One who brings righteousness to a situation. When man tries to bring peace, they call a truce, or they try to sign a treaty or a ceasefire. This is not peace. Peace is bringing righteousness into a situation. Peace is bringing God's righteousness into a situation we're going through. It's not a stopping of the conflict. It's a bringing of the righteousness. Next week, we're going to be talking about, in our last one, blessed are those who are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. We just talked about it a few weeks ago, that those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. See, there's something that Jesus was trying to establish about this word righteousness. He's using it over and over again in the Beatitudes. He's talking about, there's something about righteousness that he's wanting us to get a hold of. It's a place that he wants you and I to live in, a place of righteousness that we receive through grace and mercy, but also a place of righteousness that brings peace in our life. Peace is bringing righteousness into every situation we have. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now as I was reading the scripture, I just thought, man, this just really just jumps out that this really coincides and coexists with the Beatitudes that Jesus was teaching, doesn't it? Look what we talked about. Have we talked about the pure in heart? Yes, we have. Have we talked about peaceable things? We're talking about that today. Gentle and willing to yield. That goes along with meekness. We talked about giving control of a gentle spirit to the Holy Spirit. Full of mercy. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. Good fruits. That hypocrisy. Righteousness. These are all things that we are finding in the Beatitudes. And he's talking about it right here, that we find these things. What? Righteousness is sown in peace. So how do you find righteousness? By sowing peace in your life. If you have no peace in an area of your life, you need to sow righteousness in that area. Simply put, so let me ask you this. Do you have peace in your finances? Then you need to sow God's righteousness in your finances. You need to live in your finances according to God's plan for your life. If you're not paying your tithe and offering, then you're not going to see complete peace in your finances. Let me ask you this. Do you have peace in your marriage? If not, keep God's what? Righteousness in your marriage and see what happens in your marriage. Do you have relationships that are not peace in? Put God's righteousness in there, God's standard, what God wants to do. Invoke his grace, his mercy, and see if it doesn't bring peace to your marriage, if it doesn't bring peace to your relationships. When we have an area in our life that we're going to have no peace in, you put God's righteousness there and watch that thing turn around. And you can walk in the peace of God. One thing that used to be a conflict turns around, now you walk in peace. How? By invoking God's righteousness in that area, God's standard. There's a lot of people who try to avoid conflict, don't they? You ever thought about that? Anybody here, you're like that, man? We try to avoid conflict. We call those people peacekeepers, okay? Peacekeepers try to avoid conflict. But a person who tries to resolve conflict is a peacemaker. Let me put it this way. Wanting peace is a desire. I mean, everybody wants peace. I mean, we want world peace, hallelujah. And I'm not talking about, you know, dressed up in beads and long hair. Living in a van down by the river. That's not what I'm talking about at all, okay? I'm not talking about world peace, man, world love. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a desire that we want peace. There's one thing to desire peace. There's another thing to make a decision to establish peace. And a peacemaker is a person who makes a decision to establish peace. I am not just wanting peace in my marriage. I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to put God's righteousness in my marriage. I'm going to put God's righteousness in my finances and my job. I'm going to put God's righteousness in my home. I'm going to put God's righteousness in my problem because I have no peace there. That's a peacemaker. I'm making a decision to act. Everybody wants it. Oh, I want a great marriage. But I don't want to do the things that are necessary to bring God's there. Make a decision. Act upon it. Oh, I want God's blessing. Well, make a decision and do the right thing. Establish His righteousness in every area of your life. When His righteousness is not going in our areas of our life, we will have unsettling conflict there, and there will be no peace in areas of our life. Proverbs 14:34. Look what it says here. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As we translate this out, it actually can translate to righteousness brings peace to a nation. But conflict and sin, it brings reproach. I mean, we want God's righteousness in our lives, don't we? I want to be exalted. I want God to exalt me in my due season. I want God to exalt me with His peace. And that comes when I bring righteousness into my situation. There is no peace for those who do not walk in righteousness. Simply put, there's no peace for those who do not walk in the righteousness of God. Do you realize there's 31,103 verses in the Bible? Let me say again, there's 31,103 verses in the Bible. Is that an odd or even number? That's not a trick question, really, it's not. What's the last number we said? Three? Is three an odd or even number? It's odd, okay. So if we look at the scripture, there is a verse in the very middle of this. There's a verse in the very middle. There is 15,551 verses before this verse and 15,551 verses after this verse. It's stuck in the very middle. We can find it in Isaiah 26:3. Look what it says here in the very middle of the Bible. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts you. If you believe anything that has to do with where verse is located, sometimes we make a bigger deal about it than what it is, but I believe there are certain things that God was trying to say to you and I. Certain things He's wanting to really get out there to us. This word of peace, that God says, I will keep you in perfect peace, man, when we keep our mind, His righteousness set upon every area of our life. Awesome thought about the Lord, that He knew exactly what we needed to hear. A third point, who are the peacemakers? Who are the peacemakers? 2 Corinthians 5. Look what it says here. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now this word reconciled, what does it translate to? We know this word reconciled means to make peace. To make peace. So I went back, and as I studied this, I said, all right, he's talking about making peace here. I went back and rewrote this verse one more time for us to look at, replacing the word reconcile with making peace. And we could translate it and read it this way. Now, all things are of God who has made peace to us, to himself, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of peacemakers. That is, that God was in Christ making peace to the world, to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of peace. It's pretty heavy when you see that, isn't it? That God was wanting to establish something in us. He says that Jesus, first of all, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to make peace with you and I. Has God made peace with the world? That's the question. Has God made peace with the world? Yes, he has. How did he make peace with the world? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die. His only begotten son, the most precious gift he could have gave. He gave his son to die for you and I to make peace with the world. What has he done? He's paid the price for everybody's sins in the world. Is everybody saved? No, they're not. But everybody's sins have been paid for, but it's up to them to individually receive that free gift of salvation. They got to receive God's forgiveness. They got to confess their sin and say, God, I believe who you are as the Messiah, and I'm going to live for you. But has God brought peace to the world? Yes, he has. Through his son, Jesus Christ, is what he was saying. He has made peace to us, to himself, through Jesus Christ. And after that, what has he done? He's given you and I, who have accepted that peace. What is peace? Peace is getting to right standing with the Lord. Peace is, we just study in the Bible here, in the Beatitudes, is coming into the right standing with Jesus Christ. Walking in his righteousness, invoking his righteousness in my life. So he has made peace to us through himself, through Jesus Christ. And he's given us, what, the ministry of making peace, of peacemakers. That's our ministry. So you've been asking, I don't know what my ministry is, Pastor. I know God's got me a big ministry for me. Well, I tell you, all of us are called to this ministry, and it's called the ministry of peacemakers. That is, that God was in Christ making peace to the world, to himself. He's committed us to the word of peace. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is this, that God has brought peace to you and I through Jesus Christ. We receive his peace when we receive his righteousness in our life. And he says, not only have I given you peace, but now I want you to become a peacemaker. All right, Pastor, so what are you really, really saying? This is what I'm saying. That a peacemaker is somebody who says, you know what? I want you to realize, the people who do not know this, that God has brought peace to your life. And he wants to reconcile you with him. And when you come and you tell other people about Jesus Christ, and you witness to other people about Jesus Christ, you're bringing the peace of righteousness to their life. And when they accept Jesus Christ, they are walking in a new peace. And then they become a peacemaker. That's our ultimate responsibility, to be peacemakers. This is not walking around trying to stop having conflict, but it's the ability to bring people to realize that they need Jesus, and we help them establish a relationship with Jesus in their life. That's what we're called to do. That's the ministry that I'm called to do in our life. That's what it's called. That's what it means. That's who a peacemaker is. To be attitudes, teach me how to enter into the kingdom of God through making peace with God. But to look successful in the kingdom of God, I'm also called to be a peacemaker. It's not enough for me to accept God's peace, but now I'm called in return to show others how to accept God's peace. I become a peacemaker. This is what God was talking about here. This is what Jesus was talking about as we study this out. Today, Jesus wants every one of us to walk in his perfect peace. Isaiah 54:10. Let me look at this last verse here. I love this verse because it's talking about peace. Today, no matter what you're going through, I want you to get this promise. If you need peace in your life, I want you to get this verse. Write it down. Maybe go home and put it on your fridge, on your mirror. Write it out. Type it out in your office. This is a great, great scripture. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God has made a covenant of peace with us that cannot be removed. That means no matter what we're going through in our life, when we walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he has brought a covenant of peace. He invokes his righteousness. Sometimes he calms the storm. Other times, he just calms us in the middle of our storm. But mountains will fade. Hills will be removed. But God's peace will never be removed for you and I. No matter what we go through, whether it be a time of without a job, time of sickness, time of mourning, time of unsure what's going to happen, he made this promise to you and I that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That he brings a perfect peace in our life. And today, I don't know who you are, and maybe you're going through a lot of turmoil in your life, a lot of personal conflict. Maybe you're going through some personal conflict. It's just a result of bad decisions in our life. And I say, put righteousness in God. Put the righteousness of God in that situation and see that thing turn around. Others of you here, nothing that happened on your own, but you're going through circumstances in your life that you just need God's peace to comfort you. Things that don't make no sense into you. And he says, promises you this, that he will not remove his peace from you and I. He will give us peace that passes all understanding. It's the promise that you and I have. That's why when we walk through an economy that's up and down, that as a Christian we can say, you know what, I'm at peace. When gas prices go up, we're like, oh, man, I can't afford to buy the gas. I can't afford to buy the groceries. This is going up and this is happening and everything's raising up. And the stock market's going down. And the world is panicking. As Christians, we can walk in peace because we know the peacemaker. Because we know who's in our boat. We have righteousness living with us. And that's the key, is righteousness living with you. Too many times in our life, we get in trouble in our life and we're like, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I need you. You know what Jesus does? He sits there looking out over us, watching us. Oh, there's somebody in trouble again. He gets off his throne. Well, they're calling me to come and help. You know what he does? He jumps in. He brings them out. And he saves them because we called upon him. And we're like, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Wow. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You saved me. You saved me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And we turn and we walk away until we get 6 months down the road again or a year down the road again, and we go through a major crisis in our life, and what do? Jesus, I'm over my head again. I need you. I need you. And he's like, all right. And he comes out, and he wades back out in the water, and he jumps, and he brings us out. I wonder how many of us have made Jesus our lifeguard when really we are lifeguard. See, a lifeguard brings peace every day. Lifeguard brings peace to your life every day. Have a walk with him. Come here, Chuck. See, when I'm walking with a lifeguard just comes out and saves me when I'm in trouble. But a lifeguard does this. Watch out. There's a little pit around there. Walk around this way. Yeah, that's good. Wait, come over here. It's a little bit better. It's easier. Yeah, you want to miss. That's a bunch of mess over there. So if you just follow me, and I'll help you avoid some of that over there. So here's the difference. There's a difference. When I'm walking with him, I can have a peace that even when I'm going through troubles in my life and turmoil in my life, there's a peace of knowing that I am walking next to righteousness. No matter what I go through, his righteousness invokes me, man, and comes in every situation I'm in. Thanks, Chuck. Today, we've got to stop. We've got to stop just making him our lifeguard. So you know what? I want to walk in peace in my life. I want to walk with him every day in a new and real way. I'm ready to make him a personal part of my walk every day. And in return, I'm ready to show others how to do that and become a peacemaker. For they shall be called what? The sons of God. This is not a gender bias statement. It translates and means the same thing as sons and daughters. But the Bible oftentimes would say sons, and it's including sons and daughters. And so today, he says, those who are peacemakers, those who have made peace with God, and then those who show peace to others, they're sons and daughters of the King. We walk in that today, knowing that you and I have a new place in Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace is my Father. The God of Peace is my Father. And he's called me son. He's called you daughter. Today it's a new relationship of peace that we can walk in every day. That even when we go through things we don't understand, things that don't make sense, it's a new, deep level of relationship with him that I will fear no evil, for my God is. I'm going to ask our worship team to come this morning. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. Today, we're talking about walking in peace, and I just want to give you this opportunity here. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, you're talking about walking in peace, and today I need to, first of all, I just need to make peace with God. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to make sure things are right. I want to make sure heaven's my home, that I can spend eternity with Jesus, as you're talking about. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, and today I'm ready to make a decision Maybe you've been coming to church for years. Maybe today's your first Sunday. It doesn't make a difference. Last week we had a lot of people who gave their hearts to the Lord. And you may be in that same boat this week with those who need to make a decision for Jesus Christ, the most important decision you ever make. No one's looking around but me. But can you just look at me today if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision to follow after Christ. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand? I would not embarrass you in any way, but I want to make sure you have that chance today to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else want to join? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two people today? Raise where I can see and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision today. One more time. Can you raise your hand if you haven't raised it? Make sure you have that opportunity. We're going to say this prayer together, especially those who raised your hands and meant that. We're going to say it along with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, all of my dreams, everything I am belongs to you. I believe you are the Messiah, and I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, first of all, we say welcome to the family of God. Just give a hand clap, yeah? Pray that prayer today. It's just the beginning step in your journey of knowing who God is in your life. There's a lot of things you need to do to start getting back on the right track. And if you stop by the booth in the back, we have a free packet back there that tells you what you can do next. We've got a free Bible and some other material that tells you next steps in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But first and foremost, not only is it establishing a relationship, but you need to get plugged into a church family who can help support you, disciple you, and love on you, man. So make sure you find a church home. We would love to have you here. We'd love to get to know you better. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today's the pastor? I'm ready to be a peacemaker. God has called me to be a peacemaker. Anybody here, you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm ready to be a peacemaker in my life. Yeah. Anybody here today, be honest, and Pastor, I just need God's peace in my life in a real way, man. Yeah, several people. Anybody else, raise your hands. First of all, if you're here today, you say, I need to experience God's peace in such a real way this morning. Can you raise your hand where you're at? I want you to leave your hands raised. I want you just to stretch your hands to people around you who've got their hands raised. We're just going to pray right now. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that you give us peace that passes all understanding. God, you give us peace that the world can't understand. That God, even in the middle of our storm, that God, we know who's in our boat, and that's the King of Righteousness, the Prince of Peace. And Father, we thank you today, God, that you are establishing peace in your people, in their mind, in their heart, in their life. For those who are going through turmoil, Lord, in their home, in their life, I pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, we speak peace into their situation right now. We speak peace, God. We speak peace be released. Peace be released in their mind. Peace be released in their spirit. Peace be released in their heart today. God, peace be released. Peace, 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 God, we release. We release right now in the name of Jesus, God. You are giving us peace, Lord. I pray as they walk out today, God, there's going to be a new peace they're going to walk in. God, there's a new comfort, Lord, of knowing that righteousness is in my situation. Knowing, God, you are walking with them. And God, no longer are we going to use you just for our lifeguard, but God, today we're using you as our lifeguard, knowing that, God, you are walking with us day by day, minute by minute. That, God, you're living with us, God. And we invite you, come, Holy Spirit, lead us, direct us. God, we want that personal relationship with you. It's just not about a Sunday, but God, it's about an everyday relationship with you, Jesus. And God, today we speak peace in the situation. And God, I pray right now for those who raise their hands and say they want to learn to be the peacekeeper you've called them to be. God, it's a ministry, God, of reconciliation. It's a ministry, God, of bringing people to know that, God, you have paid the price for peace in their life. And the only way to receive peace is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, may our family, may our friends, may our employers and our employees, God, our neighborhood, Lord, people we're in contact with, may they know above and beyond anything else that, God, you bring peace and you come to establish peace in their life. And God, help us to be the peacemakers that you've called us to be. Lord, help us not to be silent about the things of peace. Help us not to be silent about your things, God, but help us to be walk in boldness and have the right opportunity and the right wisdom when to speak your words of peace. the people around us. And God, we thank you today, God, you are calling us to peace. And God, we thank you, you are bringing us to peace. We're going to sing this song in closing today. It says that when the waters flow, when the winds blow and the waters rise, that God's peace is among us.
Yeah.
know we serve a God of peace. We serve a God of peace today. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to close us out in prayer. Thank you so much for being here. I invite you to join us this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for a powerful time of some prayer and worship. God bless you today as Justin dismisses us in a word of prayer.
God, we want to thank you that you are our life guide, not just our lifeguard. But we thank you that you are God over every day of our lives, God, that our steps are ordered, God, and that by your Spirit you lead us forth in peace, God. And Lord, we receive your peace this morning in every circumstance, God, in every situation, God. We declare you as God. And God, because you've made peace with us, God, we pray that we're able to make peace and live in peace with our fellow man, God. But please keep this word in our hearts and in our minds, God. Seal it in our spirits, God. Let us not forget it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.